already growing back in, and honestly, I was happy about that. I loved his beard almost as much as I loved his smile. "I can't believe it," Faye sighed. "Who would have ever thought that that wild, dirty, hippie asshole thing would ever become something so hot? We're all a little wild, and we're all a little something." She turned to me, a silly grin finding her lips. "Oh, shit. You like him." "What?" "No, he just helps around the house, mostly with the lawn." Her voice took on a loud shout. She had no clue how to whisper. "Are you sure it's just the lawn, or does he help unclog your drains, too?" "Faye, shut up." "Does he wash your dirty dishes? Your dishes were always so, so filthy." "I'm not doing this with you." I blushed. "Anyway, I need your input. Which layout do you like the best for the living room and dining room area? I want to incorporate his wood pieces that he makes. Tristan builds a lot with wood, and I think, is his wood good? Thick? Does Tristan have thick, long wood?" I stared at her with narrow eyes. "Is your mind always in the gutter?" "Always, baby cakes. Always. You like him, though, I can tell." "Not at all." "You like him." With a whisper and a turn of my stomach, I stared at Tristan, who was staring back at me. "Yeah, I like him." "Jesus, Liz. Only you would fall for an asshole dude who ends up looking like Brad Pitt circa Legends of the Fall. Get it?" She smiled. "Legends of the Fall. Character's name was Tristan?" "Well, aren't you clever? It's almost ridiculous." I laughed. "Almost." She stepped in closer and studied my face. "What's that?"
"What's what?"
"That weird, goofy grin you're giving me. Holy face full of sex, you slept with him." "What? No, I..."
"Don't try to outsmart the sexaholic, Liz. You totally boned him."
Like a little girl who'd just gotten her first kiss, I squirmed. "I totally boned him. Sweet Jesus, yes!" She stood up on the front porch and started chanting. "Yes, yes, yes! The drought is over!" Tristan turned our way and raised an eyebrow.
"Everything okay, ladies?"
I pulled Faye back down to sit and giggled. "Everything's fine, including that sweet ass of his," Faye muttered with a smirk. "So how was it?" "Well, let's just say I gave his thing a nickname." Tears formed in her eyes, and her hands flew over her heart. "My little girl is growing up. Okay, what's the name?" "The Incredible Hulk." She cringed. "I'm sorry, what?" No, I heard you the first time. You mean that green monster thing? Liz, are you fucking a guy with a green penis? Because if you are, you need a tetanus shot." She eyed me up and down, cringing. "And higher standards." I laughed. "Can I tell you the truth about Tristan and me without you giving me a scolding?" "Absolutely." "We used sex with each other to remember Stephen and Jamie. It's kind of like we used each other to have the feeling we used to get with them."
"You mean you, like, envision Stephen while Tristan's screwing you?"
"Yeah. I mean, well, at first I did. We don't do it anymore, though. I got way too emotional and couldn't handle it."
"But now you like him."
"Yeah. Which is bad, because he was just seeing Jamie when he was with me." Faye's eyes glanced over to Tristan.
"Bullshit."
"What?"
"He sees you, Liz."
"What are you talking about?"
"Listen, coming from a girl who has slept with a ton of different guys and has envisioned Channing Tatum for most of those guys, I can tell the difference between when a person is thinking about you and when they are thinking about someone else. Look at the way he's staring at you." I glanced over to Tristan to find his stare once again on me. Did he really think about me when we were together? And if it were true that he did, why did the idea of that make me so happy? I shook my head back and forth, not wanting to really face the fact of what was happening between Tristan and me. "So, what's the deal with you and Maddie? How's that going?"
"Terrible," she sighed,
slamming her hand against her face. I need to break things off with him. What? Why? Because, like a loser, I went ahead and fell in love with him. My eyes lit up. You're in love. I know it's awful. I drink every night to try to forget about it. Now shut up and let's go back to talking about Tristan's wood. I smiled, and after a few hours and about 100 dirty comments, Faye and I picked out the colors for each and every room in his house. Chapter 21. Elizabeth. A few days passed before Sam called me up on Friday to see if I was interested in hanging out with him. I'd figured he had forgotten he said he would show me around town months before, but I guess some people were just a little slower getting around to things. On Friday night, he pulled up to my house in his family's work truck. I watched him from the living room window as he hopped out of his truck and fixed his bow tie. He started stepping toward the house, and then he paused and stepped backward. This went on for about 5 more rounds before he finally made it up the porch, where he debated knocking or not. Tristan leaned behind me and studied Sam's movements. "Oh, you got a hot date tonight?" For the past few days, Tristan had been staying in our guest room since his house was being painted. That night, we'd been going over my ideas for his house, and I'd been showing him different boards I'd created with ideas for the space. He seemed less than interested, but I was just happy to be doing what I loved once again. "It's not a date," I said. "Sam just wanted to show me around Meadows Creek a bit, to get me out of the house." Tristan cocked an eyebrow and snickered. "What? What's wrong with that?" I asked.
"You do know that he thinks this is a date, right?"
"What?" I stood up a tad. "No, he doesn't. He just doesn't want me sitting around the house." Tristan gave me a "bullshit, it's totally a date" look. "Shut up, Tris."
"All I'm saying is I doubt Stalker Sam knows that it's not a date."
"What does that mean? What do you mean, Stalker Sam?" I asked, my voice timid. Tristan gave me a wicked grin and started walking away. "Tristan, what do you mean, Stalker Sam?"
"Ever since he moved into town, he has a history of coming on a little strong sometimes. That's all. I'd watch him follow girls around in town when I would be out running. Did he say where he was taking you?"
"Yes, and it's not really a place where dates happen, so I think you're wrong."
"The town hall meeting?"
"Exactly," I said, pleased with the idea. "The town hall meeting isn't a place you take someone you think you're going on a date with." Tristan's lips pressed together as if he was trying to hold in a chuckle. "Stop it," I argued. There was one knock on the door. "He doesn't really think this is a date, does he?"
"I bet $10 Stalker Sam leans over to you during Sheriff Johnson's speech about the town fair and asks you if you want to go down to the barn house, where there's always a fish fry, dancing, and karaoke after the town meeting."
"You don't want to pay me $10.
"You're right, I don't. But it doesn't matter because I'm going to win the bet."
He joked cockily.
"Stalker Sam is going to woo you."
Knock number two. "Stop calling him Stalker Sam," I whispered, feeling my heartbeats increase. "He's not going to ask me to the barn house."
"You bet money on it?"
he said, holding his hand out. I shook his hand. "Fine. $10 that this isn't a date."
"Ah, easiest money I ever made, Lizzie."
The nickname left his mouth as if it was effortless. When I pulled my hand back from his, I tried not to show how much this simple nickname affected me. Knock number three.
"What's wrong?"
"You called me Lizzie." His eyebrows furrowed with confusion. "It's just, no one called me that except for Stephen."
"Sorry,"
he said, nodding a little.
"It slipped out."
"No, no, I like it. I've missed it." I gave him a small smile. We stared at each other, standing still as if the soles of our shoes were superglued to the floor. My eyes traveled to the small, unfinished tattoo on his left hand, and I forced myself to take it in instead of his stare. Sometimes it was too much looking him in the eyes. "I like it."
then I'll keep saying it.
Knock number four.
You should probably...
Tristan's head nodded in the direction of the door. I shook my head and agreed, rushing to open the door to Sam, who was giving me the biggest smile and holding a bunch of flowers in his hands.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Sam smiled, stretching his hands out to me with the flowers.
Wow, you look beautiful. These are for you. I was sitting out here and realized I didn't bring you anything, so I don't know, I just picked them from the front of the house for you.
His eyes moved to Tristan, who was standing a few feet from us.
What's that asshole doing here?
Oh, Sam, this is Tristan. Tristan, Sam, I said, introducing the two. Tristan's house is being painted, so he's staying with Emma and me for a few days. Tristan held his hand out toward Sam with his beautiful smile.
Nice to meet you, Sam. You too, Tristan,
Sam said warily. Tristan patted him on the back, his wolfish grin in full force.
Oh, no need to be so formal with my name. By all means, call me asshole.
I snickered to myself. What a jerk. Sam cleared his throat.
Anyway, sorry about the flowers. I should have thought to grab some from town, but don't worry about it, buddy,
Tristan said, taking the flowers from Sam, knowing he was making him feel extra levels of discomfort.
How about you come on in and take a seat in the living room while Elizabeth and I find a vase or something to toss the flowers in? Oh, okay, yeah, sounds good.
Sam agreed, allowing me to take the flowers from his grip.
Careful, he said. They have thorns.
I think I can handle it. Thanks, Sam. Take a seat and I'll be right back. The moment I stepped into the kitchen, Tristan was already giving me a smart-ass grin. If you keep looking at me like that, I will beat you up, Tristan. This doesn't mean it's a date. He snickered. I narrowed my eyes. It doesn't.
He stole flowers for you from the front of your house. It's much more serious than I thought. He loves you. That's like a Bonnie and Clyde type love.
You're an ass. He started filling up a vase with water for the flowers. As I passed them to him, a thorn landed in my finger, and I cursed under my breath as blood started to appear. Crap. Tristan took the flowers, tossed them into the cup, and then took my hand in his, examining the small bit of blood.
It's not too bad,
he said, grabbing a rag and holding it against my finger. My stomach was building with butterflies that didn't have a place in my life. I tried my best to ignore them, but the truth was, Tristan's touch was nice, gentle, and wanted.
Stalker Sam was right about one thing, though,
Tristan said with his stare on my finger. And what's that?
You do look beautiful.
Our hands stayed together, and he stepped in closer to me. I liked how close he was. I loved how close he was. His breaths were heavy.
Lizzie.
Yes.
Would you be mad if I kissed you? And by kiss you, I mean you, not the memory of Jamie.
His eyes studied my lips. My heart was pounding against my ribcage as he moved in closer and brushed a fallen piece of hair behind my ear. Our hands stayed attached for a second longer before he cleared his throat and pulled away from me. A wave of embarrassment filled his eyes.
Sorry. Ignore me.
I blinked a few times and tried to shake the nervous feeling away. It wouldn't leave. He knotted his hands together before resting them on the back of his neck.
You better get back to your date.
It's not a... I started to say, but when I noticed his lips turning down a bit, I dropped the subject. Have a good night. He nodded once.
You too, Lizzie.
I stared up at the podium where Tanner was speaking about why needful things should be closed down. It made me sick to my stomach, listening to him tear into Mr. Henson, who was sitting a few rows back at the town meeting. Mr. Henson didn't seem fazed by Tanner's words at all, though. He just sat and smiled. I'd never truly seen that side of Tanner, the business-driven side of him, the one who would say and do pretty much anything to get his way, even if that meant throwing a nice old man under the bus. It left me with such a taste of disgust.
Tanner has some great reasons why Mr. Henson should give up his store. He says it's a waste of space since nobody ever goes into the place.
I think it's a great store. He raised an eyebrow.
You've been in there?
Many times.
And you haven't grown warts or anything? Mr. Henson practices voodoo and stuff in his back room. Turns out when the Clintons' cat Molly went missing, someone saw her wander into Mr. Henson's store, and I kid you not, Molly came out as a pit bull dog. Even answered to the name and all. It's freaky.
Chuckling, I said, "You don't believe that, do you?"
"Heck yeah, I do. I'm surprised you didn't come out with a third eye or something after going into that place."
"Oh, I did. I'm just really good with makeup." He snickered.
"You make me laugh, Elizabeth. I like that about you."
His eyes locked with mine, and he gave me a longing stare. Oh, no. I broke our stare and pointed to someone else. "What about them? What's their story?" He didn't get a chance to tell me, because Sheriff Johnson was walking up to the stage. The moment Sheriff Johnson stepped up to the microphone to speak about the town fair, I knew I owed Tristan $10. Right on cue, Sam leaned over and whispered in my ear,
"You know, I was thinking maybe we could go to the fish fry after this. It's real good, and there's a lot of dancing and stuff that goes on. It's a great time."
I smiled. I wasn't sure how to turn him down. He looked so hopeful. "Well," his eyes widened with a sparkle of excitement, "I would love that." He took his baseball cap off of his head and slapped it against his knee.
"Woo! Awesome, awesome, awesome."
Sam couldn't stop smiling wide, and I couldn't stop feeling as if going with him was a major mistake. Plus, I was out $10, which sucked. Sam and I sat in two chairs watching everyone else dance around drunkenly and freely as he told me the backstory of each and every person in the room. He turned to face me and said,
"I hope you're having fun."
"I am," I smiled.
"Maybe we can go on another date at some point?"
My jaw tightened. "Sam, you're a wonderful person, but I don't really think I'm in a place to be dating. You know what I mean? My life is currently a mess." He released a nervous chuckle and nodded in understanding.
"I get it. I just..."
He placed his hands on his knees, and our gazes met.
"I had to try. Just had to put myself out there."
"I'm glad you did." I nudged him in the shoulder and said, "Are you sure you don't want to get out there and dance?" He ringed his fingers together and looked to the ground.
"I ain't much of a dancer. I'm more of a watcher."
"Come on," I said, holding my hand out toward him. "It'll be fun." Sam hesitated for a while longer before he reached out and took my hand. We walked to the dance floor, and I watched as his nerves built up more and more. His stare was trained on his tennis shoes, and I could see him counting his steps in his head. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. "Eye contact helps," I offered. He didn't comment. He just kept counting as his face got more and more flushed with nerves. "You know what? I could really go for some water," I said. Sam's eyes met mine, and he gave me a smirk.
"I can get some for you," he said, thankful that he wouldn't have to dance anymore.
I returned to my seat, and when he came back with the water, he handed it to me and sat.
"This is nice, isn't it?"
"It is." He cleared his throat and pointed out to someone else on the dance floor.
"That over there is Susie. I guess she was the hot dog eating champion for years at the town fair. And over there is..."
"What about you, Sam? Tell me something about you." There was hesitation in his eyes before he blinked and shrugged his shoulders.
"There's not much to me."
"I'm sure that's a lie," I offered. "Why are you working at the cafe if your dad offered you a full-time spot at his business?" He studied my face, and I stared at his. His eyes were so handsome, but I could tell he was uncomfortable for some reason. He broke the eye contact.
"My dad wants me to take over the family business, but it's not what I want."
"What do you want to do?"
"Be a chef,"
he said.
I figured working at the cafe would be a start to learning a bit more about it until I could save up for school, but I'm never allowed back by the kitchen, so it's kind of a bust.
I can talk to Maddie about letting you get in the kitchen sometimes, I offered. A genuine smile rose on his lips, and he thanked me, but declined the offer, saying he would figure it out on his own. He pushed himself to a standing position.
Well, this is getting a bit too Dr. Phil for my liking, so I'm gonna head over and get me some more catfish. Do you need anything?
He asked. I shook my head and watched him walk away.
Oh, thank God you're still alive,
muttered a voice next to me. I turned as Tristan slid into Sam's seat. What are you doing here? I'm so happy you're here. I like when you're here. Ask me the kissing question again.
Well, he began to explain, when a friend goes on a date with Stalker Sam, it's your responsibility to check in on that friend.
Friend? I'd been friend-zoned. Ask me the kissing question, please. And since when are you the responsible friend? I asked, playing nonchalant about the fact that my stomach was doing cartwheels and somersaults while unicorns and kittens danced around inside of me.
Since about...
He glanced down to the invisible watch on his right wrist.
5 seconds ago. It sounded like fun to come and watch you and Sam make complete fools of each other.
He tapped his fingers against his kneecaps, avoiding eye contact with me. Oh, my gosh. He was jealous. I wouldn't mock him about it, though. Dance with me? I asked. When his hand reached out for mine, my heart skipped a beat. I placed my hand in his, and he led us to the dance floor. He spun me around once before pulling me closer to his body. My breaths were short and fast as I stared into his eyes. He stood inches over me, never letting his hold on me falter. I could feel the eyes of every person in the place staring at us. I could almost hear their judgments, their whispers. My head lowered, my stare falling to the ground. I felt his finger lift my chin, and he forced my stare to meet his, which was fine. I liked looking at him, and I liked the way he looked at me, even though I wasn't certain what it meant, the two of us staring at each other the way we were. You lied to me, I said.
Never.
You did.
I'm not a liar.
But you lied.
About what?
The white feathers. I saw the receipt for them. You said you found them at Mr. Henson's shop. He chuckled and frowned.
I might have lied to you about that.
I leaned in closer to his lips, seconds away from kissing him, seconds away from our first kiss where he was him and I was me. My hands fell against his chest and I could feel his heartbeats against my touch. I could almost see his soul within his eyes. The song stopped, but we stayed close, our breathing patterns matching each other's, our breaths heavy and nervous, excited and scared. His thumb ran alongside my neck, and he stepped in closer. I liked how close he was. I feared how close he was. He tilted his head slightly as he gave me the smallest crooked smile, staring at me as if he was promising to never look away. They all warned me about Tristan, begging me to stay away. He's an asshole. He's wild and he's broken, Liz, they would say. He's nothing but the ugly scars of his yesterdays, they swore. But what they didn't see, what they chose to ignore, was the fact that I was also a little wild, a bit crazy, and completely shattered, too. I was damaged goods at best. But when I was with him, at least I remembered to breathe.
Mind if we switch partners?
A familiar voice interrupted me from falling into Tristan's taste. I looked up to see Tanner smiling toward me, with Faye in his arms. I smiled, even though I kind of wanted to frown. Of course. As Tanner took my hand, Tristan took Faye's. I missed him, even though he was only a few steps away from me.
Don't look so disappointed,
Tanner said, pulling me close to him.
I know I have 2 left feet, but I can still move my hips pretty well,
he joked. I happen to remember a certain holiday party where you won the award for the best worst dancer. He crinkled up his nose.
I still think that my shopping cart dance should have won the best dancer, but with your husband as the judge, I knew I would be screwed over.
I laughed. The shopping cart. How did that one go again? With two steps back, Towner started pretending that he was pushing a shopping cart and placing items into said shopping cart. He then started to invisibly place his items on a checkout lane where he scanned his food and bagged it up. I couldn't stop laughing. He smirked and moved back to me, falling into our much slower and easier dance routine. Perfect. You really should have won the best dancer that night.
Right?
He bit his bottom lip.
I was screwed.
Don't worry, I'm sure there are plenty of holiday parties in the future that you can reclaim your victory. He nodded in agreement, and I combed my hair behind my ear.
God, I missed you, Liz.
I missed you, too. Gosh, I've missed everyone. It just feels good to feel again.
Yeah. Man, that has to be great. So this is the point where I clear my throat and take a leap of faith, asking you if you want to maybe get dinner with me at some point.
Dinner? I asked, taken back by his question. Like a date? Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Tristan dancing with Faye.
Well, not like a date, but an actual date. Me and you. I know this probably seems weird and all, but
I'm kind of seeing someone, Tanner. His face dropped, confusion in his stare.
Seeing someone?
He stood straighter, uttering his fogged mind.
Are you seeing Sam? I know you two came together, but I didn't think he was your type. I didn't think...
It's not Sam.
It's not.
His stare moved across the room and landed on Tristan and Faye. When he looked back to me, the playfulness that I'd seen moments before was gone. All color was drained from his face, where a new vibrant irritation now existed.
Tristan Cole? You're seeing Tristan Cole?
He whisper shouted. I cringed. I wasn't exactly seeing Tristan. I truly had no clue how he even felt about me. But I knew I had these feelings for him, and I couldn't ignore them much longer.
You come back to town, and you pick the absolute worst person to start dating.
He's not as terrible as everyone thinks.
You're right. He's even worse.
Tanner. I placed my hands against his chest. I didn't mean for this to happen. I didn't mean to feel whatever it is I'm feeling for him, but you can't help who you fall for.
Yes, you can. Tristan and Mr. Henson are not the kinds of people you want to be associated with.
What's your problem with Mr. Henson's shop, anyway? Mr. Henson is one of the kindest men I've ever met. He pinched the bridge of his nose.
You're wrong, Liz, and I'm terrified that Tristan is going to hurt you.
He won't. He didn't believe me. He somehow convinced himself that the idea of me and Tristan was a terrible thing, just like the rest of the town. Tanner, he won't. Now come on, I said, pulling him closer to me, feeling how stiff his body was. Just dance with your friend and stop worrying so much about me.
I'm worried about your heart, Liz. After Steve, you were destroyed. I don't want your heart to get broken again.
Oh, Tanner. I lay my head against his chest, and he combed his fingers through my hair. I'll be okay. I promise.
And if you're not?
Well, I guess I'll just need you to hug me sometimes.
Chapter 22. Tristan. I don't think we've properly met, Faye said as we danced together. So you're the penis that's been inside my best friend's vagina.
Well, that's one way of putting it.
And you're the highly inappropriate best friend. She smiled wide.
That's me. So, listen, this is the part where I tell you if you hurt Liz, I will kill you.
I laughed. She and I are just friends.
You're kidding, right? Jesus, the two of you are two of the dumbest human beings on the planet. You honestly can't tell that my best friend is falling for you?
What?
Look at her,
Faye said, glancing at Elizabeth. She can't take her eyes off of us, because she's terrified that you might make me laugh, or I might touch your balls, or the wind might blow your penis into my mouth. Wait, what? Oh, my freaking gosh, do I really have to spell it out for you? She's jealous, Tristan. Of us? Of anyone and everyone who looks at you? Faye grew sober. Just be easy with her, okay? Don't break her heart. It's already in a million pieces. Don't worry, I shrugged. So is mine. My eyes locked with Tanner, who was giving me a hard stare. What about him? Is he jealous and secretly in love with me, too? Faye stared at Tanner with a look of distaste. No, he just hates your guts. Why? Because, for some reason, Liz chose you over him. Can you keep a secret? Probably not, no. She smiled. Oh, well, I guess I can't either because I'm about to tell it to you. The night before Liz and Stephen's wedding, Tanner came stumbling over to Liz's place. Luckily, I answered the door and Liz was sleeping, but he told me that Liz was making a big mistake, that she should have been marrying him and not Stephen. He's been in love with her all this time? Love, lust, I don't know, wanting what you can't have? Anyway, it's probably killing him that when she finally came back to town, she didn't even bat her eyes at him once. He probably had his mind made up that Liz would finally pick him. What a blow to the ballsack when she came back and picked the biggest asshole there was. She paused and smiled. No offense. Some taken. I swung her around once and pulled her close to me. For the record, though, Faye's grin switched wider. I don't think you're a complete jerk anymore. So in a few weeks, we're having a birthday party for Liz and you're invited. It's just going to be about getting her to dance on bar counters and be free from the mind demons that take over her for a little while. And I'm giving you full permission to touch her vagina that night. I laughed. That's really kind of you. What can I say? She smirked. I'm a solid friend. After the dance with Faye, I found a seat in the back corner of the room and tried to absorb everything I'd been told. When Elizabeth walked over, I couldn't even deny the way my heart skipped. It looked like you and Faye were getting along well, she said, sitting beside me. The same could be said about you and Tanner, I replied. That's not the same. Tanner and I are just friends. So what? Did she ask you to have sex with her? I bet you said yes. But I don't think you should with all the issues you're dealing with. She bit her bottom lip. But did she ask you? I cocked an eyebrow at her sassy expression. Is that a real question? I'm just saying, I don't think sticking your penis inside a woman is a great way to cope with the stress of your life. But isn't that what you and I were doing? I argued. And it didn't work out too well, did it? Faye was right. Clarity filled my head as I took in Elizabeth's features. Her face was flushed, and she kept running her hands against her legs. Our gaze met. I edged my chair closer to her and placed her legs in between mine. Leaning in toward her, I whispered, I get it now. I watched a sigh roll from her lips as she studied our proximity. Get what? You're jealous. She huffed loudly and laughed. Jealous? Don't be ridiculous, narcissist. Giving her a soft therapist tone, I took her hands into mine. You don't have to be embarrassed. It's completely normal to at some point develop feelings for one's neighbor. Why would you think that's ridiculous? She yanked my hands from hers, and it took everything in me not to crack up laughing in her face at how red she was turning. Why? You want all the reasons why? Well, for starters, lately you haven't shaven and you look like a lumberjack, which is repulsive. With your beanie hat and your thick beard, I'm semi-surprised you're not wearing plaid. Do you even shower? I shower. If you want, we could go back to my place and shower together to save water. Look at you being an environmental activist and all. Not really. I just love making you wet. Her cheeks blushed as I studied the few freckles dappling her cheeks. She was so damn beautiful. Plus, I said, trying to break my thoughts away from the fact that I was feeling for her everything I hoped she was feeling for me. I saw the Timber app on your cell phone. You don't have to hide your love for lumberjacks. No one's judging you out loud. Mostly it's silent side-eye judgment, but really that doesn't even count. The app was a trending topic on the side of my Facebook page, Tristan. Faye made me get it and I was curious. That's all. She was getting redder and redder by the second, and my body was starting to react to being so close to hers. I wanted to press my hands against her heated cheeks to feel her warmth. I wanted to lay my fingers against her chest and feel her heart pound from nerves. I wanted to taste her lips. "What's the deal with you and Tanner?" I asked once more. "I told you, he and I are just friends." "It looked like more from the way he held you." She snickered, looking to the ground. "Who's jealous now?" "I am." "What?" Her head rose and she met my stare. "I said I'm jealous. I'm jealous of the way his hand laid against your back. I'm jealous of the way he made you laugh. I'm jealous of the way his words filled your ears. I'm jealous that for those few moments he got to stare into those eyes, and I had to stand back and watch it all unfold." "What are you doing?" she said, her breath short, confused. My lips were lingering inches away from hers. Her hands were resting against my jeans. My hands were lying against her fingers. We were so close, I was almost certain she was sitting in my lap and I could hear her heartbeats. The room around us was loud as always. People were getting drunk, people were eating, and people were discussing mediocre shit in a mediocre way. But my eyes, they were trained on her lips, on the curves of her mouth, on the color of her skin, on her. "Tris, stop," she whispered against my skin, but she inched her body closer. It seemed she was as confused as I was, her body going against what her mind was demanding she do. "Tell me you don't want this," I begged her. "Turn me away." "I..." she was stuttering, her eyes on my mouth. Her voice was shaking and I could hear her fears loud and clear, but somewhere within those fears and doubts was a small whisper of hope. I wanted to hold on to that as long as I could. I wanted to feel the hope that she kept locked away deep in her soul. "Tristan, do you..." she chuckled nervously and ran her fingers back and forth against her forehead. "Do you ever think of me? I mean..." Her tongue stumbled and she went silent. Her nerves were eating at her thoughts, jumbling them. "Do you ever think of me in a way that is more than a friendship?" When she looked into my eyes, she had to see the answer. I felt her soul staring deep into mine. Her eyes were full of wondering interest, and her beauty was softened by an air of mystery. I blinked once. Every second, every minute, every hour, every day. She nodded, closing her eyes. "Me too, every second, every minute, every hour, every day." "Pull away, Tristan. Pull away, Tristan. Pull away, Lizzie," I said, pulling her closer. "I want to kiss you, the real you, the sad you, the broken you. That would change things." She was right. It would be crossing that invisible line that was dangling right in front of us. I'd kissed her before, but that was different. That was before I started falling for her, falling and falling hard. I exhaled the breath that I'd been holding and felt her do the same against my skin. "And what would happen if I didn't kiss you?" "I would hate you a little," she said softly as I rested my lips millimeters away from hers. "I would hate you a lot," she said. My lips pressed into hers as she arched her back and grabbed my t-shirt, pulling me closer. A light moan left her as I slid my tongue into her mouth and made love to her tongue. She kissed me hard, almost sliding into my lap, almost giving me all of her. "I want you to let me in," she muttered against me. It took everything in me not to wrap my arms around her and take her back to my house and explore every inch of her body. I wanted to feel her wrapped around me. I wanted to feel myself deep inside her. I tugged on her bottom lip and she kissed me gently before pulling away. "I want to know who you are, Tristan. I want to know where you go when you get lost in your mind. I want to know what makes you shout in your dreams. I want to see the darkness in you that you fight daily to keep hidden. Can you do something for me? She asked. Anything. Her hands fell to my heart, and she watched my inhales and exhales against her fingertips. Show me the part of you that you try to keep buried. Show me where it hurts the most. I want to see your soul.
Chapter 23, Elizabeth. He took me to the shed. For the longest time, I'd wondered what it was he did inside those walls. After he unlocked it, he swung the two doors wide open. The space was dark, and I couldn't see anything until he pulled on a lamp cord, turning on a light. The room lit up as he led me inside. "Charlie," I muttered, staring around at a room that was set up like a mini library. The shelves were filled with novels, both children's books and more classic tales, such as To Kill a Mockingbird, and a huge Stephen King collection. The bookshelves were all hand-built, and I could tell Tristan was the one who'd built them. There was one bookshelf that held only toys. Dinosaurs, cars, toy soldiers. Yet the toys in the bookshelves weren't what shook me the most. I stared at the walls of the shed and studied the words carved into the wood. It looked as if he had filled the walls up with notes, with memories, with apologies.
Every time I missed him, every time I thought of him, I carved it into the wood.
He explained as my fingertips ran across the painful words that Tristan had only shared with himself until now. I'm sorry I left you. I'm sorry I wasn't there. I'm sorry I didn't let you read certain books. I'm sorry I never took you fishing. I'm sorry you'll never fall in love. I wish I could forget. I miss you.
Plus, he whispered, Jamie always wanted me to build her a library. I always put it off for tomorrow. I thought I had more time. But sometimes tomorrow never comes, and you're only left with the memories of yesterday's.
When I found his stare, he tried his best to blink his emotion away. I could see the pain that still lived fresh in his mind, in his heart. I stepped toward him. It wasn't your fault, Tristan. He shook his head in disagreement.
It was. If I hadn't been running around trying to start a stupid career, I could have been there. I could have kept them alive.
What happened? What happened to them? His head lowered.
I can't talk about that day.
I lifted his face to find his stare. That's fine, I get it. But I just want you to know that it wasn't your fault, Tristan. I need you to understand that. You were the best father and husband you could be. His eyes told me he didn't believe me. I'd hoped that one day he would. What was the hardest part for you when you lost them? What was your lowest moment that first week? A hesitation hit him as his lips parted to speak.
The day before their funeral, I tried to kill myself.
He whispered, extremely raw and uncut.
I sat in my parents' bathroom, and I tried to end my life.
Oh, Tristan.
I remember staring at myself in the mirror, knowing that my heart had died right along with them. I knew I was dead. I've been dead ever since, you know? I was okay with that. I was okay with being mean and callous because I was convinced that I didn't deserve to have people care for me. I pushed my parents away because I was my own ghost. I wanted so much to be dead because I felt like it would be better, easier. But then you came, and I started to remember what it felt like to exist.
His lips lay against mine, and my heartbeat sped up. His voice was giving me chills.
Elizabeth.
Yes?
It's easier with you.
What's easier with me? His hand found my lower back. My hips arched toward him, our bodies slowly becoming one. He ran his fingers against my neck as I closed my eyes, and he spoke softly into my soul.
Being alive.
I took a deep breath. You're good, Triss. You're good enough. Even on the days you feel worthless.
Can I see your soul now?
He asked. I nodded, nervously, and I led him inside my house.
Love letters?
He asked, sitting on my couch as I opened the heart-shaped tin box. Yes.
From Stephen to you?
I shook my head. My mama wrote them to my dad, and he wrote them back to her almost every day since they met. After he passed away, I would read these every day, just as a way to remember him. But then one day Mama threw them out. I found them, and I still read them all the time. He nodded in understanding as he picked one up and read it.
You're sleeping beside me, and each second I love you a little more. H.B.
That one always made me smile. They weren't always happy like that. There were some things I didn't even know about my parents until I started reading these letters. I went digging into the box for a certain one. Like this one. I know you think you're less of a woman. I know you think you're less of a woman and blame your body for our loss. I know you think you're less of a woman because of what the doctors said. But you're wrong. You're strong, wise, and unbreakable. You are more than a woman. You are everything beautiful in the world, and I am a mere man lucky to call you my goddess, H.B. I didn't even know that they lost a child before me. I didn't know. I smiled tightly to Tristan, who was taking it all in. Anyway, my parents are where I first saw true love. I just wish Stephen and I had written each other letters. It would have been nice.
I'm so sorry,
he said. I nodded, because I was too. I closed the tin box and moved closer to him on the couch.
How did your mom handle losing him?
He asked. She didn't. She used men to forget. She lost herself the day she lost my father. It's just sad, because, well, I miss her.
I miss my parents. After Jamie and Charlie passed away, I ran away from them because they were comforting, and I didn't think I deserved their comfort.
Maybe you could give them a call.
I don't know.
He whispered.
I'm still not sure I deserve their comfort yet.
Soon, though.
Yeah. Maybe soon.
So,
he said, changing the subject.
What was the hardest part for you that week? What was your lowest?
Telling Emma. I didn't even do it right away, either. The first night, I laid in her bed holding her, and she asked when Daddy was coming home. I broke down crying. And that was when it became real for me. That's when I knew my life would never be the same again. Tristan reached out and ran his thumbs under my eyes, wiping away the tears I hadn't known had fallen. It's okay, I promised. I'm good. He shook his head.
You're not.
I am. I'm good. I'm good. His eyes narrowed.
You don't have to be good all the time. It's okay to be hurt sometimes. It's okay to feel lost, like you're wandering around in the dark. It's the bad days that make the good ones so much better.
My hands ran through his hair, and I set my lips against his. Kiss me, I whispered, placing my fingers against his chest, taking in the feeling of his heart resting in my hands. He hesitated.
If I kiss you, we can't go back. If I kiss you, I'll never want to stop.
My tongue slowly danced across his bottom lip, and then I used it to part his mouth as I spoke in a whisper. Kiss me. His hands moved to my lower back, and he pulled me closer to him. He started to rub my back in a circular motion. We were so close together that it was hard to tell if we were two separate people or one soul discovering its inner flame for the first time.
Are you sure?
He asked. Kiss me.
Lizzie.
A small smile spread across my mouth as I lay a finger against his lips. I'm only going to tell you this one last time, Tristan. Kiss. I didn't have to finish my words, and I hardly remembered him carrying me to my bedroom. My back lay against my dresser as he boxed me in. He tightened his grip around my waist and our lips met within a moment's time. His mouth tasted every inch of mine as he deepened our connection. His fingers traveled up my spine, sending chills throughout me. He leaned in closer, and his tongue parted my lips, finding my tongue ready to dance with his. His arms wrapped tighter around me, and I dug my fingers into his back, holding on to him as if he was my favorite thing in the world. He is. My head tilted to the side as my hands became tangled in his hair, forcing him to kiss me deeper, harder, faster. "Tristan," I moaned against him, and he growled into me. My hand fell to the bottom of his shirt, and I slid it up, feeling the tight body he hid underneath. I loved how he felt. I loved how he tasted. I love how I am falling in love with him. I didn't know it was possible. I didn't know the broken pieces of a heart could still beat for love. He lifted me up, his hands clasping around my behind, and he sat me on the edge of my mattress. His breaths were rushed, his hunger clear.
"I want you so much, Lizzie."
He sighed as his mouth sucked on my ear, before he rolled his tongue across my chin and landed his lips against mine. The way he tongued my mouth, as if he was trying to find every inch of me, every taste, made me moan into him as he began to slide his hands under my dress. I watched as he slid my panties down my hips and tossed them to the side of the room. He edged me closer to his body and spread my legs, allowing me to feel his hardness. The longing look in his eyes made me smile. I knew right then that he would always make me smile. His fingers gripped the edge of my dress, and he slowly moved it up, studying every inch of me, every curve.
"Arms,"
he ordered in a deep snarl, and I lifted my hands up as he took the dress off and tossed it to the side of the room.
"Beautiful,"
he muttered before bending down and kissing my neck. Each time his lips connected to my skin, I felt my heartbeats racing. His tongue followed the curve of my bra as he reached behind me, unhooking it and tossing it to the side. He sent shivers through my body as his thumbs circled my hardening nipples. I started raising his shirt, revealing his toned abs.
"Arms,"
I ordered. He held them up, and I tossed his shirt to the side of the room, joining the growing pile. He didn't waste any time lowering his mouth to my chest again, sliding his tongue across my breasts. His lips kissed me hard and sucked me harder. My breaths grew heavier and heavier, hungrier and hungrier for him to touch me, taste me.
"Tristan, just... oh my God,"
I muttered, my head falling back from the way his tongue knew how to control my body.
"Lay down,"
he ordered. I did as he said, and closed my eyes, running my fingers across my chest. The anticipation of his next touch made me nervous, yet thrilled. When would he touch me, and where? My hips arched up when I felt the wetness of his tongue sweep against my inner thigh.
"I want to taste you, Lizzie. I want to taste every inch of you,"
he whispered against my skin. His hands gripped my ass, and he pushed my hips up toward him as his tongue fell deep inside me. He licked me slowly and steadily as my body shook in his hold. He licked me harder and wilder as my body begged for more. He licked me deeper and longer as I tangled my fingers in his hair, wanting nothing more than him inside of me.
"Tristan, please,"
I begged, my hips wiggling as he slid two fingers inside me as he continued rolling his tongue in and out of my wetness.
"I want you."
Once he pulled away, he stood up and began to unzip his jeans.
"Tell me how you want it. Tell me how you want me,"
he said, his eyes never leaving mine.
"I don't want it gentle,"
I whispered, short of breath. My eyes met his hard erection standing against his boxers as he stepped out of his jeans. My fingers wrapped around the edge of his boxers, and within seconds, they were off.
"Show me the shadows that keep you up at night. Kiss me with your darkness."
He lifted me off of the bed and placed me facing my dresser, my hands falling against the drawers. With haste, he reached for his jeans pockets, pulled out his wallet, and grabbed a condom, ripping it open with desperation and rolling it onto his hardness. Within moments, he was standing behind me, his body pressed against my naked soul. His finger trailed down my back until he hit the curves of my ass, and he grasped it in his hold.
"Lizzie,"
he said, his breaths matching the speed of my own.
"I won't hurt you,"
he promised as he grabbed my left leg and held it up in his arm. "I know, Tristan. I know." In one thrust, he slid into my tightness with force, making me cry out as my back arched from the sensation of him entering me. As his left hand held my leg up, his right wrapped around my front to massage my breasts. His breaths were rough as he spoke.
"You feel so good, Lizzie. God, you feel so..."
His words faded as he continued to thrust into me. Being so close to Tristan, not only physically, but deep within both of our darkness, made tears form in my eyes. He was beautiful. He was scary. He was real. "This isn't a dream. This is real." He slid out from me and twisted me around so I was facing him. His hands grasped around my behind and he lifted me, forcing me to wrap my legs around his waist, his body the only thing that kept me from falling. Our foreheads fell against each other's as he slid back inside me.
"Don't close your eyes,"
he begged. His eyes were filled with lust, with passion, with love. Or maybe it was my own love I was seeing shining through him. Either way, I liked the feeling it created in me. He kept entering me hard and pulling out slow. My core was shaking, my eyes wanting to close, but I couldn't. They had to stay open. I had to see him. I was seconds away from my body giving way to him, seconds away from losing myself and finding myself with Tristan Cole inside me. "I'm going to..." I muttered, my body shaking as the orgasm overtook me, my words falling away. My eyes closed, and I felt his lips press against mine as my body shook against him.
"God, I love that, Lizzie. I love it so much when you lose yourself against me."
He smiled against my lips as I moaned into him. "I want all of you," I begged. "Please."
"I'm yours."
That night, we fell asleep in each other's arms. In the middle of the night, we woke up and he slid inside me again, finding ourselves together, losing ourselves together. Early the next morning, we touched each other again. Every time he entered me, it was as if he was apologizing for something. Every time he kissed me, it was as if he was begging for my forgiveness. Every time he blinked, I swore I saw his soul. Chapter 24. Elizabeth. When I woke up, I rolled over and noticed Tristan was missing from my bed. A part of me wondered if the night before had been a dream, but when my fingers landed on the pillowcase beside me, I picked up a letter.
"You're so beautiful when you snore. T.C.
I held the paper to my chest before I reread it over and over again. The sound of a lawnmower was the only thing that stopped me from reading the letter again. I tossed on a pair of shorts and a tank top, wanting to go watch Tristan cutting my grass and kiss his lips gently. But once I stepped onto my porch, I stopped. He wasn't mowing my grass. He was cutting his lawn. To everyone else in the world, it wouldn't have seemed like a big deal, seeing a man cutting his grass. But I knew it meant more. I knew Tristan Cole had spent months sleepwalking through life. And today, he was slowly waking up. Tristan and I started leaving post-it notes around each other's houses for one another. Unlike Mama and Dad's, ours weren't as romantic. Most of the time, they were corny and silly, which kind of made me love them even more. "I think you have a cute butt. E.B.
"Sometimes when I'm cutting the grass and you're sitting on your porch reading your dirty books, I see your face blush when you get to a really good part. That Mr. Darcy must have done some crazy shit to Elizabeth's body. T.C.
I don't know if I should be worried or turned on that you know the names of the characters from Pride and Prejudice. E.B.
You are so fucking beautiful.